morning, and welcome to this edition of A Public Affair with the Community Foundation Boulder County on KGNU. I'm your host, Jim Williams, a Community Foundation trustee and the former Dean of Libraries for the University of Colorado. My guest today is Chris Barge, Vice President of Strategic Initiatives for the Community Foundation. He provided editorial and management oversight for this year's Trends Report on the social, economic, and environmental health of our community. Welcome, and thank you, Chris, for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
The 10th edition of Trends will be available soon, starting with two launch events, one on October 10 in Longmont and the other on October 16 in Boulder. The public is invited and encouraged to attend. Please visit our website, commfound.org, to register. So, since 1996, the Community Foundation has published Boulder County Trends. Trends shines a bright light on our community's most challenging concerns and most promising potentials, as well as the unique strengths that make this community a great place to live, to work, and to play. Trends drives smart grant making for maximum impact. It informs smart leadership on key community issues. It inspires smart philanthropy that solves community challenges. And we hope that it ignites smart action among community members who want to make a difference. The Community Foundation Boulder County publishes Trends as a community resource for you and for everyone who calls Boulder County home. We're pleased to also launch during this week, the first week of October, a new Trends website holding all 150 indicators that we track to determine the social and economic health of our community. This will also be available on the Community Foundation's website. My guest this morning edited Trends. He's a former newspaper reporter for the Daily Camera and the good old Rocky Mountain News. Chris Barge, tell me about the approach that you took for this edition.
Well, thanks, Jim. You know, with this edition of Trends, I think you're going to see a very story-driven approach. We've got a lot of really great reporting in there from Cindy Sutter, a longtime reporter and editor with the Daily Camera. She knows this community. I helped. We had a whole team of people helping. You're going to see that we've not only researched out of the 150 ways we can measure community health, what are the headlines, but then we've gone and we've found the people living at the center of these stories and really brought their stories to life. So I think that you're going to find it to be an engaging read. Also, we have a new website, as you mentioned, and it'll be much more interactive than ever before. So those of you who have really found use for this information in terms of the data and nonprofits use it, I know, all the time to write grants. Civic leaders use it all the time to make policy decisions. That data will be available for you online.
Terrific. So as you think back on starting this project, this particular edition of Trends, what was the biggest thing that hit you as you and your team started to put this report together?
Over and over again, I just got hit over the head with this realization that everything that we are challenged by seems to flow downhill from the high cost of housing. Since 2011, it's just been incredible. Those of us who live here know that we were about a decade ago really surprised when the median house price in the city of Boulder crested over $500,000. We thought that was a big deal. Well, I'm here to tell you that in 2011, the median home price in the city of Boulder was $545,000. And in 2016, it was $845,000. And so that has just shot up. But also, Longmont hadn't been immune to this either. And so all over the county, you're really seeing a situation where we are challenged by this idea that we are going to be forcing out lower and middle class people from being able to live here.
I, as you know, worked at the university for 29 years, and one of the things that we lived with was that many, many of our employees lived in what I call the L cities,
right.
Louisville, Longmont, and Lafayette. And so people came to Boulder to work, but took their income back to their communities elsewhere.
And while that was a challenge, at least that was still a Boulder County
yes.
way to live. Here we're talking about Thornton and North Glen as where people can afford to live who work at CU. So it's becoming a longer drive time, and traffic is even more snarled.
Oh, don't talk about traffic. So, as you know, the Trends Report examines 150 indicators of our community's social, economic, and environmental health. And it lifts up key issues across seven chapters. In the coming months, I will host additional editions of A Public Affair here at KGNU, where we'll dive into each of these issue areas and talk with several of our neighbors who are experiencing these trends firsthand. Chris, let's, for example, take a little dive into some of these subject areas. What's a chief finding when it comes to demographic shifts in our area?
Well, we are aging and we're becoming more diverse. We talked with a wonderful woman named Lily Darcy, 87-year-old, who lives in Louisville and depends on Circle of Care to come bring her groceries. She is part of a growing demographic. We know that between now and the year 2050, we are going to go from 45,000 Boulder County residents over the age of 65 to more than 100,000 Boulder County residents over the age of 65. So that has implications in terms of our housing stock and all sorts of questions about what services that we're able to provide folks so that they can age gracefully in their own home. We also are seeing a big trend driven again by those housing prices about City of Boulder kind of getting hollowed out when it comes to families that can afford to live here. And we've got a big drive of families moving east. So we have a story in there about my neighbor from Martin Acres in South Boulder who just bought a house over in Lafayette, and they are really among a big trend in that way. We've got a lot, thankfully, growing diversity. One in four people in Boulder County now identifies as a person of color. On the other hand, let's look at our leadership and our pipeline. We've got only four elected officials out of 104 elected seats in Boulder County who are people of color. And so that's something that our programming, leadership fellows at the Community Foundation is trying to address, and we need more attention on that. We're also, on average, much wealthier than the rest of the country. 52% of families in Boulder County have a family income of over $100,000. That's compared to 32% in the United States. And on average, we are highly educated. 61% of us went to college, have a four-year degree. 27% of us have a graduate or higher doctorate degree or professional degree.
What you mentioned this woman who's taking advantage of the Circle of Care. What is the Circle of Care? Just to let our listeners know.
Oh, it's a great program, really about. Driven by volunteers that do well checks and do things like grocery shop for people who can't get around themselves.
And it's operated by?
Its own nonprofit.
Its own nonprofit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I want to take a moment to thank our listeners for tuning in to KGNU's A Public Affair this morning. I'm Jim Williams from the Community Foundation Boulder County, and my guest today is Chris Barge, who produced this year's Trends Report. So, Chris, when it comes to education, I understand that the graduation rates are up, but our wide achievement gap persists. What's going on there?
across the state, we have seen something that on the surface really seems phenomenal. We're at a six-year high on graduation rates. Now, that means a higher percentage of kids are graduating across the state than ever. That's really great news for those of us who track education and who want to see students succeed. On the other hand, in the absence of any big headline about a major intervention or a bolus of money that has come into the system over the last 6 years, you have to say, well, why might that be? And with the advent of more and more online classes and offerings, what we have come to understand is that actually students are able to catch up more quickly. They're not having to repeat a full year if they fail. They're able to do e-credit recovery. They're able to make up lost time, turn four Fs into passing grades over the summer. This is good because it gets them over the line of graduating high school, but it's not good because what it means is that our graduates are less and less prepared. And so we see, on the other hand, the rates of remediation among students that are coming from low-income backgrounds and Latino students. For example, Latinos are twice as likely to require remedial classes when they do enroll in either a two-year or a four-year college. So we're still challenged in that way, and it all comes down to the achievement gap, which is very wide in Boulder County. That gap between the kids coming from low-income backgrounds, which oftentimes is a Latino background, and their peers. One bright spot among several in the county, there are a lot of people working on this issue. One area has been the El Paso program. It stands for Engaged Latino Parents Advancing Student Outcomes. We have a cover story in this year's edition of Trends about Shelly Mraz, who is now a Head Start assistant teacher, went to Washington as a delegate for Head Start to talk to our Congress delegation just about the importance of investing in early learning. She's one of 100 leaders that has been trained by this program, and it's really seeking to build the Latino parent voice and build a movement where we start to address this issue where we don't have enough people of color at the top levels of policy change. And that, as well as other efforts, give me hope that we will find our way to a future that is informed by the people who are going through this struggle.
Being able to start at the starting line with all your peers has always been a struggle. So that is a very encouraging program.
Well, and I'm sure this is something you watched during your 29-year career at CU Boulder as well. You saw that achievement gap there at the end of higher education.
Indeed, indeed. So on the Health and Human Services side, what has the Affordable Care Act done for Boulder County and its uninsured population?
This competes for like the biggest takeaway of the whole magazine. I mean, this is remarkable. In the last 4 years alone, due to the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion and the expansion for children of CHIP Plus, we have cut the uninsured rate in Boulder County by two-thirds. The uninsured rate in 2013 was 11.9%. Today it rests at 4%. So it's been amazing. I'm not sure people in Boulder County really understand how that has hit home in a positive way.
That's encouraging.
It is.
Very encouraging.
Encouraging on the one hand. And then on the other, we've got a bill in front of the U.S. Senate today that is running up against a Saturday deadline to undo the Affordable Care Act and repeal and replace it with something else. And so this debate, which sounds like a national issue, really is going to have local consequences. And so I encourage everyone to tune in to what the proposal is that it be replaced by. Couple other amazing headlines in health. One in particular, teen pregnancy over the last decade has been reduced by half, not just in Boulder County, but across the state. This is due to a very progressive intervention that was led by philanthropy, national philanthropy, and really just posed the question to Boulder Valley Women's Health and to others, if money were not your barrier, what would you do? and due to about 100 little things, but mainly due to increasing access to IUDs, which is the most effective form of birth control. We've gotten that teen pregnancy rate reduced by half. It's just been phenomenal. There's been some challenges also in the healthcare front. For one thing, our opioid epidemic that we hear about nationally, used to hearing about headlines out of New Hampshire and the like, well, it's here now. We have on average about 30 people dying in Boulder County each year of accidental opioid overdose. And we've got a story about an amazing gentleman named Colt Smith in our trends report. And he himself was ensnared by opioid addiction, but now counsels teens and has a harrowing story to tell, but also an uplifting message of hope.
That's that statistic that you just shared with us about teen pregnancy and what we're doing here. I think I've read that Boulder County is showing the way in terms of how to reduce teen pregnancy.
That's right. But also just across the state, I've been so impressed by the people who've been working on this issue behind the scenes, because in a very humble and quiet manner, they have come not just to Boulder County, which was really ready to receive this sort of an offer, but also to rural parts of the state and elsewhere that were also made a similar offer. And it really was a glove fit for each community. And it was not a top-down prescription, but it was just answer a very simple question. What would you do right here in your community with the system you've got in order to make a difference here? So it was the best kind of help. It was where you say, you know, you're the experts, you're in your local community, you tell us what to do.
Terrific story.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about housing, which is in the report. Prices, as you know, have shot up through the roof for the past 5 years. So what's that doing to our community?
Well, you could say it's tearing us apart. And I say this almost as a challenge. I mean, those of us who own property in Boulder County, this has been good news. We've been watching. It's a seller's market. But there is a flip side to it, especially when you think about how really to be a sustainable family, you need to not be spending more than 30% of your pay on your housing situation, whether that's mm-hmm. towards rent or towards a mortgage. But the cost of living here in Boulder County is so high. We know that, that the poverty rate here is about 12%, which is not far off the national poverty rate. So we may not see it as much, especially those of us in Boulder that, you know, may enjoy Pearl Street or the CU campus, but it's right here, pockets of poverty among us. And the self-sufficiency standard to not depend on any sort of public assistance is triple the poverty rate. For a family of four, you need to make $76,000 rather than $24,600 is the poverty rate. If you were just to go down the road to Pueblo, you would need two-thirds that much, $51,000. So that's just a little measure of the difference in terms of the high price for living. But, you know, this also helps me gain a perspective on our homelessness situation. It's all a continuum. Affordable housing. If you absolutely can't afford housing, you're homeless. And in Boulder County last year, there were 1,500 children who experienced at least one episode of homelessness. And so that's one thing our trends report is going to do by lifting up stories of people struggling with economic and housing insecurity, help you start to understand who these people are. It's not the stereotypical person necessarily that you'd see at a traffic light flying a sign. These are by and large families. They are by and large people who did have some sort of employment in the last week or month. And 32% of our homeless have some sort of college education, believe it or not. So our message is that we need affordable housing. We're glad to see that a whole coalition of people is coming together even for a big summit this Friday up in Longmont. And we also need to continue to help those vulnerable right now not just with the help they need, but to make sure that their voices are at these policy tables, because they are the experts. They're the ones who are going through homelessness and the result of our high housing price market. And they, in fact, should be revered and respected as the experts. After all, a third of them are college educated, so they must know about what they're talking about.
So we recently had a listening tour that the Community Foundation sponsored. Were we able to get those people to our listening tour in order to share their voice?
You know, by and large, not enough. And so I think in the next year, that'll be something the Community Foundation will be working on. We did, however, hear from a lot of people who work daily with the homeless population and people challenged by affordable housing. And so I think that the challenge for us, as well as for all organizations, is going to be answer the question, who are we talking about? And once we answer that question, who's not here?
Indeed. Indeed. Well, let's go on and talk about the environment, which has been in the news recently in a major way. And Boulder County has a reputation on leading on the environmental front. But does our behavior match our reputation?
Well, I would say, by and large, yes, but probably not to the extent that we may assume. When you look at a couple of different metrics, such as, you know, how much are we getting out of our car and carpooling and using public transit, we are about 10 percentile ahead of the national curve. But, you know, we're talking about 70% of people still driving compared to 80% nationally. When you talk about water use, yes, we're ahead of the national curve. On average in Boulder County, we use about 81 gallons a day per family. But nationally, the rate is between 80 and 100. And we're an arid western state. And so we're not that far ahead. But we do deserve credit for being aware of this. I think all of the constant messaging helps. The thing I like to point out when it comes to the environment is that nature surrounds us, and we assume we're all in it, but we're not all in it. And our challenge is that we must find ways to enjoy and steward our environment, especially for families that come from low-income Latino backgrounds. These, we find, are families who are not getting in the woods as often. And if we are in the woods and we're enjoying it, I think we tend to adopt more of that consciousness about how to conserve.
Well, that's encouraging. That the Community Foundation is able to look at those kinds of issues. Let's turn for a quick moment to our art scene. There was a 2016 study by the National Endowment for the Arts that found that Boulder had the third highest per capita rate of artists in our community. What else do we know about our local art scene?
That's really cool. I think for one thing, it just tells us get out there and enjoy this. Appreciate that you are in one of the arts clusters in the United States. And we need to support our artists. We have a feature in Trends about one of our many bluegrass artists. His name's Alex Johnstone. He gave a great interview to Cindy Sutter. And one of his quotes was, "Look, I'm not making incredible house buying money or anything." And he talked about how gigging for a living in the bluegrass scene, you know, nets him $30,000 a year if he's lucky. And we find that's true. $24,000 is about the average annual wage for an artist in Boulder County. So as soon as we say, look, we've got a great arts cluster, we got to say, how long can we hold this cluster together? Because, you know, people are being priced out of here. They're not going to put up with driving in from places far east of our county border in order to make ends meet. And also, we've got a real strong sense of that there is art for social change, which has been really neat to see productions out of Modus Theater and the like. But I know in the we're running up against our time. I just wanted to mention that when you get the Trends report, check out the civic participation and giving chapter, and pay particular attention to something we've noticed. You know, the national conversation has been about what are we going to do with immigration, for example, and what does this mean for racial minorities and immigrants? Well, our survey that the Community Foundation conducts found that actually we're not that open ourselves to racial and ethnic minorities, to immigrants, and actually even to seniors. And so we're going to be challenged actually to live our values and to make ways other than just talk to show these populations that they're welcome here. We also find in that chapter that while our volunteer rate is off the chart,